We shall begin. This evening, let's take our Bibles and turn in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 9. Get my wrong, that was last week. Chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9 through 11. The plagues in Egypt. We saw last week in chapter 5 how Pharaoh was hardening his heart. He would not let the Israelites go. They had been down in Egypt for 430 years. They'd been brought down because of famine, as the patriarch Jacob brought his family of 70 down. And over the 430 years, they grew to several million people. And Pharaoh was afraid that they were so numerous that should an enemy come against Egypt, the Israelites might side with them and he would be in trouble. And, of course, he was also getting slave labor, which is relatively cheap compared to having to pay the minimum wage or maximum wage. And so he found it very advantageous to have slave labor. And so he was hardening his heart. And God had promised deliverance to Israel through Moses. And he said that he was going to bring plagues upon Pharaoh to induce him to not only release, but to drive out the Israelites. And so God brought forth these plagues. There were 10 of them altogether. We're going to consider some more tonight. We saw last week that he brought forth the first plague of water being turned to blood. And with these plagues, we need to remember they're not just simply attention getters, if you will. They're not just designed to bring Israel into God's favor and Egypt down to being oppressed, but God is making a very clear message to Pharaoh, to Egypt, and to us, and that is that I am the only God. Later he's going to, in Exodus 20, give the Ten Commandments, and he is going to say in chapter 20 of Exodus, verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's a message for us today. We tend to have gods of our own making. People, positions, things, addictions, things we put before God. We should ask ourselves, is there something or someone keeping me from really entering into a full relationship with God? If so, that could be another god. And a small g, to be sure. What about the god of self? Is that not the most difficult to deal with, the God of self, putting ourselves before Almighty God? Well, he turned the water to blood, and in so doing, he attacked the Egyptian god Hapi, H-A-P-I. We saw that. That was the god of the Nile River. So it wasn't just haphazard creating these plagues out of the blue. He had a purpose to bring down those so-called gods in the mind of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Then he created frogs. And the frogs, of course, are the attack on the goddess Heket, H-E-K-E-T. She was the goddess of childbirth, and she was depicted in their drawings of with the head of a frog. So this is all by design to show God, I'm the god of the Nile, and I am the god of childbirth. Then he created lice, and the lice is an attack against their god Geb, G-E-B. And Geb was their so-called god over the dust of the earth. And God is saying, I'm the one who is over the earth. I have created the heavens and the earth. And then he created flies, and that's an attack against their god Khepri, K-H-E-P-R-I. And Khepri was depicted with the head of a fly, and was their so-called god of creation. So he's attacking the gods and goddesses of Egypt, saying, worship me, the living God. And God's going to do the same thing with us. If there's something that's keeping us from a full, vibrant relationship with God, God's going to put his finger on it. He's going to say to us, have no other God before me. Well, tonight we're going to continue with the plagues in chapter 9. And we're going to see how God is going to bring forth a fifth, sixth, and seventh plague, and several more until he gets to the tenth plague, which will be the worst, and we'll consider that next week. So let's bow our hearts before the Lord and ask for his help. Father, we're grateful for this chance to study your word. Help us to really understand it and be totally changed by it, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Chapter 9 of the book of Exodus. Let's look at God continuing the plagues with his 5th, 6th, and 7th plagues. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" That's the continual refrain. Let my people go, that they may serve me. The devil tries to keep us in bondage. Disease tries to keep us in bondage. Strife, poverty. And we also, with the power of God, with the authority of God, can speak and say to those forces that try to keep us from God, let my people go. Let me go that I might serve the Lord. Disease, I command you to go that I might serve the Lord Jesus. Poverty, I come against you in Jesus' name that I might serve the Lord. And God always has a way of escape, always has a way of deliverance. Well, verse 2. If you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. So God's going to make a difference between Egypt and the Hebrews. Those who serve God will be treated differently from those who do not. And the same applies today. As we walk with the Lord, we can expect him to treat us differently than those who refuse to walk with God. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, "Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land." So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed not even one of the livestock of Israelites was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. He will not let them go. He doesn't want to lose that power of labor, that cheap labor. And it's just the hardness of his heart that he will not let them go. So that's that fifth plague now. And this cattle disease, I've put a note in the bottom of your outline there. Cattle disease, this is an attack on the so-called god Hathor, the Egyptian god Hathor, H-A-T-H-O-R. It was depicted with the head of a cow, and it was a god of love and actually a goddess. It was a goddess of love and protection. And God is putting this cattle down. He's causing these cattle to die, of the ones that belong to Egypt, to say, I'm the God of love. I'm the God of protection, not this goddess Hathor. So there's the cattle disease. Then there's another plague coming now, verse 8. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. So we now have this attack on the goddess Isis. She is the goddess of medicine and peace, as far as the Egyptians are concerned. And so God is now bringing boils to say, Isis does not exist. Isis has no power. The goddess of medicine and the goddess of peace does not exist. Worship me. I am the only God. And we find here in verse 12 that not only is Pharaoh hardening his own heart, but now God is judicially affirming that, and he is also hardening the heart of Pharaoh. He's not making Pharaoh hard. That's Pharaoh's disposition, but he's affirming it. Just the way a judge would do in court when there's a criminal who's sentenced, then the judge doesn't make the criminal a criminal. He simply affirms the fact that he is, and he's going to have to do the time. And so God is not making Pharaoh resistant. Pharaoh is hardened, and now God is going to affirm him in that. And he'll do so in order to show God's power and God's might. So that's the fifth and the sixth plagues. Now we're going to get into the seventh one. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me.'" The message hasn't changed. The message has not changed. And we say to the devil, and so does God, "Let my people go." Disease, let my people go. Poverty, let my people go. Addictions, let my people go. "For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth." That's what God wants to show. For our deliverance and our peace and our salvation, he wants to work through us, through Jesus Christ, to say that there is none like me in all the earth. "Now if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." And that passage in verse 16 is picked up by the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans. You'll see a cross-reference if you have references in your Bible. Romans chapter 9, verses 17 and 18. God is going to use Pharaoh and the hardness of Pharaoh's heart and lift up these plagues to show there is none like God in all the earth. Why does he do that? So that we will turn from our gods, our goddesses of our own making, and come to him. Verse 17. "As yet you exalt yourself against my people, and that you will not let them go." He's talking to Pharaoh, actually through Moses. "Behold, tomorrow about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field. So God's giving warning. I'm going to send down hail if you don't pay attention. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 22, "Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt." And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it had become a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. So God's making a difference between those who are his and those who reject him. Goshen was that area to the northeast of Egypt, going toward the Sinai Peninsula and towards Palestine. And so he kept the cattle of the Israelites free, and they were not touched by the boils nor by the hail. And so it is for us as well, as we are safe in the Lord, as we find ourselves hidden with God in Jesus Christ. We're going to find ourselves protected from the adversities around us. Yes, we may have problems that come our way, but the Lord's going to see us through those problems. My God will supply all your needs, Paul says, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 27, and Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Well, that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? Look at verse 27. I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. What is that? Is that confession? Well, the word confess means to say the same thing as God says. And so I guess we can call that a confession. I have sinned. And he's acknowledging the God of Moses to be righteous. But it's one thing to confess. It's another thing to repent. And so he is going to confess or acknowledge that what he's doing is wrong, but he's not repenting. He's not changing. And so we need to repent in order to be saved. We only need to confess to be forgiven. If you will confess, then God says he'll forgive you. But if you repent, he will save you. He'll change you. All right? He wants to be delivered now. Verse 29, Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there'll be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. So he has confessed, and that's going to buy him some time. The hail is going to stop. But God is going to show him and show us that the earth is the Lord's. God's trying to establish the fact that there's no other God besides him. What is this hail all about? Hail was an attack against the god Nut, N-U-T, the goddess, actually, of the sky. So God was showing, I am greater than this goddess Nut, or Nut, and I am the god of the sky. And so he now says, I'll buy you some more time. And then he goes on and he says in verse 30, but as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. So we find that as things get rougher, Pharaoh has what you might call kind of a foxhole conversion, using military terms. Oh, I'm sorry for what I did, and I'll serve you now until we get out of that mess and we forget about God. Now, verse 31, the flax and the barley were struck. The barley was in the head and the flax was in bud, but the wheat and spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. This is probably around March or April of the year. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased. The rain was not poured on the earth. When Pharaoh saw that the rain, the hail, the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet more. See, his heart had not changed. His heart hadn't changed. The Apostle Paul talks about salvation in the book of Romans in chapter 10. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You've got to believe in your heart. You've got to repent. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard. Neither would he let the children of Israel go as the Lord had spoken by Moses. So here we see in chapter 9 the attack on the god Hathor, the god of the head of a cow, or it's actually a goddess, I'm sorry, the goddess of love and protection, Isis, the goddess of medicine with the boils, and then the goddess of the sky, Nut, through the hail. God is still showing, I'm the only God. I'm the only God. Now chapter 10. Through these plagues, God's going to humble Pharaoh. He's going to humble Egypt's so-called gods. He's going to deliver Israel, and he's going to reveal his power and lordship to Israel. And this eighth and ninth plague is going to bring forth locusts and darkness. So let's begin with verse 1 of chapter 10. Now the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. Remember, he didn't change Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh changed his own heart and made it hard. God simply affirmed that. So that's the way you want it. That's the way it's going to be. And I'm going to show my power to the whole world. And he says that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's sons the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And God wants to get our attention today. We go to dependency upon money and position and power, our pride, lust, what have you. And God's wanting to say, those are not powerful. I am God. I am the Lord. Worship me. Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Same message over and over again. And that's what God is saying to the forces that try to bind us. Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. Now we've got another plague coming. And they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left which remains to you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They shall fill your houses, the houses of all your servants, the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh's servants said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is destroyed? So the people now began to say to Pharaoh, let them go. We can't stand this any longer. So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he said to them, go, serve the Lord your God. So now it looks like he's beginning to relent, doesn't it? But he's not there yet. He says, who are the ones that are going? And Moses said, we will go out with our young and our old, with our sons, our daughters, with our flocks, our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. In other words, the whole family. Then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. So he's warning them, he's threatening them. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. In other words, get out of here. You're not taking your wives, your children, your cattle. Only the men can go. Because Pharaoh was afraid that if the whole family went, the whole nation would go, and he would then be without their resources. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left. So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt, rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously, there had been no such locusts as they, nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land, all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left, so there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. So again, he's confessing his sin against God. Now it includes Pharaoh saying, I have sinned against you, Moses, and against you, Aaron. So it looks like maybe he's going to change his heart, doesn't it? Now, therefore, please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go. So again, Moses is going to see that it's just not time yet. God did promise Moses that Pharaoh will relent, and he will drive you out. But this is not the time yet. Sometimes God is not going to always move on our timetable. I'm sure Moses was very frustrated, but when I first got saved, I heard a saying that says that God doesn't always pay his bills on Friday. I was never quite sure what that meant, but I got the idea that it meant he's going to pay his bills, but not necessarily when you think he's going to. Sometimes we think, God, when are you going to move? It's taken so long, and yet he's going to move it in the right time. So our friend Moses has to be faithful to God and wait upon the Lord. Pharaoh's not ready yet. Pharaoh has hardened his heart, and God is hardening his heart even more to show God's mighty hand of deliverance. In this attack on the locusts, this is an attack on the Egyptian god Seth, S-E-T-H. Seth was their god of storms and the god of chaos. And those locusts came in like a storm, and they ate everything and made everything very chaotic. It was God's way of saying, your god, Seth, does not exist. I'm the god of storms. I'm the god of chaos. I'm the god of everything in this world. Well, that's where they were now. The locusts are driven out. Now let's look at the ninth plague, verse 21. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may even be felt. Think about darkness. You know, we all know about darkness after a certain time, but how about darkness that can be felt? Usually there's some source of light around us. Your eyes get acclimated to the dark after a while. When I'm walking my dogs in the woods, around trails at night, sometimes I have a flashlight with me, sometimes I don't. When I don't, I have to be very careful. The dogs are fine. They have much better vision at night than I do. But there's always some source of light, whether it's from the heavens, whether it's a street lamp nearby. But can you imagine it being so dark that the darkness can be felt? And that's what it was like here. And so, verse 22, Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. Can you imagine that? 3 days. How discouraging that was. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So again, God is making a difference between the world and his people, the unbelieving Egyptians and, of course, the believing Hebrews. And so you and I, as we serve the Lord, have the light of life in Jesus Christ. The world, apart from us, is in darkness. In darkness, spiritually speaking, because they don't have Jesus. We know about hell. We know about it being a lake of fire. We know about it being brimstone. But it's also going to be outer darkness. Jesus describes Gehenna, the lake of fire, as outer darkness, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Darkness so thick, it'll be felt for eternity without the light of Jesus Christ. So you thank God for the light of Jesus. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let others see that light in me, Lord. And so there was darkness for 3 days. How discouraging that must have been. They did not see one another, verse 23, nor did anyone rise from his place, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. See how he's bargaining? First he says, take your men. Now he's saying, take the little ones, but leave the cattle behind. The devil does that too. That old addiction goes there. All right, so I know you're going to serve the Lord, but I want you to hold on to that addiction. Don't do it every day, but do it every third day or once a month or whatever it might be. And sin part of the time, if not all the time. There's always that bargaining going on. And the devil wants to try to bargain to hold on to us. Now God says it's all or nothing. I'm Lord of all or I'm not Lord at all. Well, verse 25. Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Notice the strength of Moses. When you serve the Lord, you are strong. You don't give in to the world. You don't give in to the devil. You stand with strength and say, this is what God wants. This is what God's going to get. Our livestock will go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind. For we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, take heed to yourself, and see my face no more. For in the day you see my face, you shall die. So Moses said, you have spoken well. I will never see your face again. So the tension has built to the point now where, because of this darkness, Pharaoh is frustrated, the people are frustrated, and incidentally, this darkness is an attack on the Egyptian god Ra, the sun god, R-A. And so God, once again, is showing that he is the only God. And so now we come down to the final chapter of tonight's message. God's going to announce the death of the firstborn. This will be the 10th and final plague. God's going to arrange for them to collect silver and gold from their neighbors. Moses is going to announce the death of the Egyptian firstborn of man and of animal. Why would God bring a calamity on the Egyptians? Well, God is sovereign. He can do that which he wants. As creator, he has the right to do with man as he wills. And as God, he does whatever he thinks is right. And the Egyptians have worshipped many false gods. They refuse to worship the Lord, and therefore they become the objects of his judgment. So now chapter 11. And the Lord said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will let you go from here. You see how God's in control? He knows exactly the timing. He knows that all those plagues would not bring forth deliverance. But he knows exactly when Pharaoh is going to break. That's why you and I need to be listening to the Lord, to sense the timing of what's going on. Afterward, he will let you go. When he lets you go, he will surely drive you out of here altogether. That's what he said before he sent Moses to Pharaoh. He will let you go, and he will drive you out. Well, that point has not yet come, and you and I have to wait on the Lord until his deliverance comes. We don't always know why deliverance takes so long. Some things were delivered of immediately. I know people who have come to the Lord and they've just stopped smoking like that, or they stopped another addictive behavior, and they would be free of that something almost immediately, instantaneously, and yet they struggled with other areas in their lives. Don't be discouraged. Yes, praise God for the immediate deliverances. May they all be like that, but sadly that's not the case. Somebody once said that when God deals with us, it's like peeling an onion, one layer at a time. He's working on this layer. I want to be delivered in this area. But God says, no, that's not in my timetable right now. We're going to get to that. But right now, I want you to take care of this area. So trust him as your personal trainer. If you're wanting to get free of something in your life, say, Lord, I want to be free. But I'm going to trust you for your timing to show me how to be free. I've struggled on my own for so long, and I've had no results. So, Lord, help me to trust you in my deliverance. Show me how to do it. The Lord showed me a couple of weeks ago two words to pray, and I'm using it and sharing it with others. They rhyme, and it's really easy. Reveal and heal. Reveal, Lord, the method of deliverance. Reveal what's going on. Reveal the cause of this problem. Reveal the way it's going to be healed. And then heal me. I used to pray heal. But the Lord said, go back and say reveal. Reveal the underlying cause and what's happening. Reveal to the doctors what they need to know. To the surgeon what they need to know. Reveal to me why I'm not getting victory in this area of my life. And then heal me. Show me your way of healing for me. So, he says here, verse 2, speak now in the hearing of the people, and let every man ask from his neighbor and every woman from her neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. God is interesting in the way he tells us what we need. He knows ahead of time what we're going to need. If you try to figure God out sometimes in the natural, it doesn't make a lot of sense. If we were there trying to figure out why he was saying, ask of your neighbors silver and gold, we might say why. Perhaps past wages that they didn't earn because they were slaves. But if they have silver and gold, what good is it going to do them? They're going to go into the wilderness for 40 long years. What in the world would gold and silver do them? There's no fast food places. There's no hotels. No shopping malls. What are you going to do with gold and silver as you trudge through the desert? This is a lesson for us. Whenever God gives us something, it's primarily not for us. It's primarily for God. That gold and that silver are not going to buy them anything as they travel. That gold and silver will be used when they build the tabernacle of worship in the wilderness. And Moses asked them to bring their gold and silver to make all of the ornaments and all of the articles of furniture and this wonderful tabernacle of worship. A picture of the fact that when a dollar comes in to my hand, it's not mine, it's God's. Oh yes, I know that I'm to give him the tithe, which is the 10%, but what about the 90%? Is that mine? Not really. No, he knows I have needs. I have a mortgage. I've got a car to pay on. I've got this. I've got that. Food for the family. But it all belongs to him. So gold and silver don't mean anything to them, but it means a lot to God. So collect that gold and silver. I'll tell you what to do with it. And so it is with your paycheck, and so it is with your assets. They all belong to God, and he'll show you how he wants them used. Verse 3, the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, by this time, they were hating the Hebrews. They were hating the God of the Hebrews because of all these plagues. But God gave favor. He gave them favor. And maybe you have trouble at work and you've got a conflict there with somebody. Ask for favor. When a man's ways please the Lord, he causes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Lord, give me favor with those around me. So the Lord gave favor to the people in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So God lifted up Moses before those Egyptians as a great man. Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sits on his throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant, who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of the animals. Then there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall be like it again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does make a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these your servants shall come down to me and bow down to me, saying, get out, and all the people who follow you. And after that I will go out. Then he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. But the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will not heed you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. So Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the children of Israel go out of his land. So everything is right on time as far as God's concerned. Frustrating for everybody to be sure, all these plagues, all these attacks. And just to review these plagues one more time, they're attacks against the gods and goddesses of Egypt. The first plague we saw last week was turning water to blood against the god Hapi, the god of the Nile, and then creating frogs. That was an attack on the goddess of childbirth, the goddess Heket, with the head of a frog. Then there was the creating of the lice, which was the attack against Geb, the god of the dust of the earth. And then the flies against the god of creation, Khepri, who had the head of a fly. Then we saw tonight the cattle disease, which was against Hathor, the the head of a cow and the goddess of love and protection. The boils representing an attack against Isis, the goddess of medicine and peace. Hail over the god Nut or Nut, the goddess of the sky. And then the locusts against the god Seth, the god of storms and rain and chaos. And then finally darkness against the sun god. So God is doing all he can to show that he alone is God and that he wants for us to come to him and surrender the so-called gods and goddesses of our own lives. What is that? Anything which keeps us from God. He'll show us what it is if we come to him. And he wants for us to trust him totally and not to lean on our own understanding about things. He wants to show through us also that he's real. Moses was lifted up among the Egyptians as a man of God. You and I can be lifted up at the workplace, in our homes, as people who serve the Lord and love the Lord, who are special. And then he makes that difference between his people and the world. And we see that here in this story here. The Israelites were not touched as were the Egyptians. And God will protect us. Yes, there may be adversity in our lives, even as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would be thrown into the fiery furnace. But the fourth person in that furnace was Jesus Christ. He took them through that experience. He'll do the same for us as well. So to review chapter 9, God continued those plagues. Allow God to work his power in you that others might see. Allow God to work his power in you so that others can see that. Chapter 10, neither Egypt's gods nor ours can stand against God. No other so-called God can stand against the living God. Chapter 11, doesn't the potter have the power over the clay? He can do that which he wants with us. Lord, make of me a vessel pure and holy for you. And then we just close now with this word of prayer. Let's bow our hearts, please. Father, we want to thank you for this study, and we ask you to help us, Lord, to really trust in you, to work in and through us. This seems some days as though we have plagues, problems, frustrations, and we wish it were not so. We've got problems financially, problems physically, problems in relationships, legal problems, whatever it might be. Well, Lord, you're going to use those plagues, you're going to use those problems to show yourself strong, to show yourself mighty, that you are the only God. Help us to be like Moses. Step back and watch you do your thing. Help us not to get all frustrated, moaning and groaning and complaining. Moses didn't do that. He simply followed instructions, followed direction from you as you showed yourself strong to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And so, Lord, as adversity and problems and trials come to us in this life, help us, like Moses, to simply look to you to reveal and to heal and allow you to show yourself strong in us and through us to the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.